Matthew, the sixth chapter. I'm going to be reading this morning from that 19th verse, starting at the 19th verse. I'm starting a new series this morning that will take us through the end of August and maybe into September. The series entitled A Scriptural Look at Money. A Scriptural Look at Money. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19, Jesus is speaking. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he or she will hate the one and love the other, or he or she will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. A scriptural look at money is this series. I want to refocus your attention on verse number 21. He says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I want to talk this morning from the subject, you and your money are inseparable. You and your money are inseparable. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we thank you for this word and this time. Break up the fallow ground in our heart and give us an understanding based on your word where we are. In light of this testimony, we give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the house. We are dealing with a new series called A Scriptural Look at Money. But I'm focusing this morning, talking this morning from the subject, you and your money are inseparable. When you go to the store, Walmart, Kmart, somebody shouted Albertsons, Dillard's, when you go to, no, I didn't ask for extra, when you go to a concert, whether it's Maze or some band that you might like, or when you go see the Saints beat the Cowboys in November, when you walk up to that box office and you tell them you want two tickets and they give you the price, my question is, do you say to them, I'm going to give you a partial payment today because I have other obligations? If you try to say that to them, they would say, well, you will get a partial ticket today and will not get any inside until you pay the full amount. Why is it, my question is, church today, Why is it we try to give the kingdom of God partial payments? Why is it we serve the kingdom of God with a partial amount? Here's the question. Now I'm gonna caution you in advance. We're doing heart surgery today. In the next few weeks, this is heart surgery. Because Jesus fundamentally says, where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. We try to serve the kingdom of God with partial payments. I'm asking you again, has anybody been able to go to a box office and say, well, I got my water bill due, I got my light bill due, I got my car payment due, so I can only give you half of the ticket amount today? And you got the ticket. Anybody, if you did that at the Jerry Jones location or at Verizon Theater, if you ever did that, somebody wasn't working in the box office at the time. Because here Jesus is telling us that many people are serving God, the kingdom of God, with partial payments. In other words, the obligations that they believe that they have in their life are more important than the kingdom. Amen. I know we're going to do some heart surgery today, so it's not going to be, nobody's going to be shouting from the rafters. Nobody's going to be giving, praise God, Pastor, preach it this morning. Why? Because we're doing heart surgery. The text, Jesus is speaking from the Mount of Olives, or the Mount of Trent, let me say this, the Sermon on the Mount is where he's preaching from, and he starts this with the Beatitudes. Now, many of us know the Beatitudes, and we love the Beatitudes because Jesus says, blessed. And we like to hear that term, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. We love to hear that part. But Jesus continues this message from the Sermon on the Mount, and he deals with other topics as well. He deals with issues such as anger, lust, divorce, retaliation, loving your enemies as you love yourself. But then in the sixth chapter, he brings the conversation around. Now remember, he's teaching. He's not preaching. He's not screaming and hollering. He is teaching. And he brings the conversation around to the practice of righteousness. The practice of religion. And then he says, the way you live is because of who you are. Now I want you to catch this. We talked about this in Bible study. Many, many people understand that a dog barks because it's a dog. A cat meows because it's a cat. A cow moves because it's a cow. Jesus says you should do these things not to become righteous, but because you are already righteous. So I love not because I'm trying to become a Christian, but I'm a Christian, therefore I love. I give not because I'm trying to please God, but I please God in my giving because I'm already, right, says, a Christian. So this should be a natural progression of our faith. The things that Jesus says is you do these things because you already are. I don't love somebody and try to become a Christian. I'm a Christian, therefore I automatically, naturally love. But most of chapter 6, Jesus is dealing with money. I know that's heretical to some people. Jesus talked about serving God and heaven. Not so. Did you know that throughout the Gospels, Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven? Jesus talked more about treating other people right than he did about you sitting around with your crown on walking about heaven? Jesus talked more about living on earth and doing what's right on earth than he did about you walking around with your crown on, walking around heaven's doors. All right. And so what we have to understand is money is spiritual. If Jesus took the time to deal with money on a regular basis, money is spiritual. But here is the mistake that we've made. We've quoted that scripture, that 21st verse before, and we said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. But we reversed that and thought, well, where my heart is, my money will be. But Jesus does not say that. Jesus says, where your money is, your heart will be. All right. Now let me, I'm going to take my time and explain this. Is it all right if I take my time this morning?
Amen.
Yeah. Money is spiritual, and the heart, watch this now, church, the heart is controlled by money. The heart is controlled by money. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, go and sell all you can, all you have. Give to the poor, and then come follow me. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful. Not because he didn't want to follow Jesus, but he could not be uncontrolled. He was too controlled by what he possessed. Watch this. The kingdom of God must be free from the love of money. Now, we've heard this, and I don't know how many times I've heard this misquoted before. Money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not going to get any better, so y'all might as well come on. I tell you, this is hard surgery. When you're talking about money with people, people get quiet. But here is Jesus saying that money is a predominant spiritual aspect of our lives. Amen. Now, let me just say straight up and right now, I am not talking about give money so you can get rich. Not talking about that. I'm not talking about give money because we're about to close the doors. Not talking about that. Not talking about give money because my light's about to be turned off. Not talking about that at all. What I am talking about, though, is how money can and will and does control your heart. You and your money are inseparable. The love of money is the root of all evil. But money is not evil in itself. Now watch this. I want you to hear this clearly. How we see money, watch this now. How we see money determines what, when, where, how, and why we use it. How we see money determines what, when, where, how, and why we use it. If you would look at me, look at verse 21 with me. I'm sorry, verse 22. Look at verse 22 with me, please. Here in the middle of his conversation about money, he's talking about don't lay up treasures for yourselves. Don't lay up treasures where they will not be stolen. But then right in the middle of this, he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And then after that, he goes back to say, you can't serve two masters at the same time. You either love one or hate the other. Is Jesus just changing the subject right in the middle of his teaching? Not at all. Verse 21, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if the eye is healthy, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. What Jesus is saying here is what you look through determines what and how you see. And if you look through the scriptural lens of money, you realize money is not evil. But if you look through it, you'll see that money determines what, when, where, and how we use it. The way we see it will determine how we see it. You and your money are inseparable. Verse 21, he says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What is treasure? Treasure is that place in which goods and precious things are collected and laid up. Now, what happens at this point? This is the point where Christians separate their spirituality versus what goes on in real life. We love to come around church and pray and sing, but we rarely associate how we treat people with God. I'm talking about in general. We rarely associate associate how we spend our time on a day-to-day basis with how our spiritual lives are developed. We go to work, we are compartmentalized. We go to work and we go home. And when we go to work and we go home until we come back on Sunday, and then it's hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Amen, brother. But outside is, what's up, man? Oh, yeah, it's a good day. But a weatherman can't get it right, can he? What's going on? I wish they'd do a better job in Washington because my taxes are going up. We don't realize that this thing is not different. This is all together. This is together. This is separate. This is not separated. I'm going to give you this perfect example. Many people are complaining about this administration today. Oh. Now, whether you like it or not, people are complaining. Oh. But do you know that this administration was fueled by casinos? Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have a problem when we were running and spending our money there. That's my money. I'm going to spend my money how I want to spend my money. I work, I can spend my money where I want to spend it. But no, okay, go ahead. And we spend our money in the casino that fuels this administration. You ever heard the term follow the money? Your $5, your $20, your $25 added up over the years put this brother, this young man, this person, I should say, in office. And now we want to separate our money from our spirituality? Oh, hey, man, it's not going to get no better than this, so you might as well smile at me. And look, I'm not afraid of your funny-looking faces. I have done a great disservice to this church. Over the past 6 years, this is the first ever series on money. First ever. And y'all looking at me like, well, I can't believe you're talking about money. This is the first one. First series. First time we have done a service, a message on money. And folk looking like, oh, why are we out to talk about that today? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It is a great study. If you don't believe me, study it out. Ask the finance team. You will find out that the most consistent givers, not necessarily the biggest givers, but the most consistent givers at this church are also the hardest workers and the most consistent members. I'm going to let that sink in. The most consistent givers, whether they give regularly big or whether they give regularly small, because you can only give with what you have. You can't give what you don't have. But what you do have, what are you doing with it? Here's another example. The staff at this church are the top 10% givers in the church. This is the place where the folk work. You know, there are some pastors that don't give to the church they pastor. And I'm not saying this to brag, but I'm telling you this as an example. This pastor and his wife are the consistently the top three givers in this church. Why? Because where my treasure is, my heart is there too. Because I love what God is doing here. I love the vision that God is doing here. If I didn't like the vision, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't like you, I wouldn't be here. But I love you. I love the vision. I love what God has called us to do. Bringing people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no greater vision than that. And because of that, listen, if you look outside right now, there is a paid for 2011 Altima. That baby drives good too. But that's not my heart's desire. Can I talk to you this morning? You know what my heart desire is? A Challenger, Dodge Challenger. Yeah, see Rona likes the up cars, the cars that drive up, you know, they up. I like to be low on the road with the growl of an engine. Do you know that the money that I have given to this church over the last 2 or 3 years, I could have bought me one cash and still had some money left over? Because that Challenger is not my vision. That's a desire. You know what my vision is? To bring people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ by making disciples through our words and actions in cooperation with God's grace. And I'm gonna tell you something. Every time I come to this place and we put our money in that offering, we experience grace. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. All of a sudden, doors open that I didn't ask God to open a door for. All of a sudden, people give to me that I didn't ask people to give. All of a sudden, we go places that I never imagined or even thought about going before. Why? Because God makes a way. He pours you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. But I'm not giving it to get. I'm giving it because it's vital. It is my desire. I want better for this community. I want better for this church. And so if I have to put off my Challenger for another year, I'll put it off. Why? Because this is more important to me than any other car in the world. But I've done a great disservice to this church. First time talking about money in 6 years. I served, take me this way now. I served at a discount. Pastor don't need nothing. He all right. He working. He don't need nothing. Listen, yeah, you know, God takes care of me, but I have served at a discount on purpose. Do you know that if it wasn't for God's blessing, I couldn't even have come here?
That's right. That's right.
Do you know that?
That's right. All right.
When we started, this was not even part-time. I wouldn't even have gotten gas money. But the vision was here. We started planting seeds. We started giving. We started exercising faith. And all of a sudden, we're at a place where we have gone from a third or fourth time to a full-time church in the United Methodist Church in less than 6 years. That's amazing. That's God's blessing. But watch this. And you, whether you like it or not, it's all because of your faithfulness. Because you decided that you're going to get in the vision as well. Again, I've grown over the years. I'm going to say this now. Am I talking all right? Yes. I've grown over the years. When I first got here, I told you. I want you to hear this. When I first got here, the finance team can tell you this. Our finance chair can tell you this. When I first got here, I said, I don't want to know what nobody's giving. Now, I wasn't being super spiritual. That was flesh. Because the first time somebody came complaining to me that I knew wasn't a giver, I was going to go off. And so I didn't want to know what folk gave. I didn't want to know what you gave. I didn't want to know how you gave, because I knew the first time somebody came to me, Pastor, why we don't do this? I want to know how we spending money on my pencils. But after counsel and prayer and spiritual growth, you notice I don't treat anybody any different. I know what everybody gives now. But I don't treat anybody any different. I call folk. I pray for folk. I smile with folk. I'm loving folk that don't give a dime. Amen.
Amen.
But what I'm also doing now in this spiritual growth and development is I'm leaving the discounting out. We're going to challenge now. Because the challenge, like one of our members recently told me what their former pastor told them about robbing God and the difference between robbing God and being a thief. I'm not ready to go there yet. That's too strong. That's too strong for this crowd. But what I am going to say is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, come on somebody, also. Money is a tool. Money represents your time, your talent, your gifts. Money can and does answer many problems. If some of you have a flat tire right now, money will answer that problem. But there's some that would be a major issue. Amen. So money does answer some problems. But now watch this. Money extends a person's character. I'm gonna help you understand this, and then we'll close this for the day. Money extends a person's character. Money doesn't change folk. Some people think money changes folk. Money don't change you. It just extends your character. If you were a fool before you got money, you're gonna be a fool with money. If you were in the club and didn't have no money, when you got some money, you're gonna be in the club. This time though, instead of just passing out tips, you're gonna be making it rain. Money extends a person's character. If you were expressing foolishness before you had money, money will help you express foolishness further. You will just be able to go further, farther, travel, and still be a fool. Amen. But money also extends a person's righteous expression. Social issues began to be taken care of. Political issues, humanitarian issues, environmental issues are all of a sudden funded and dealt with because righteous people have money. Again, I go back to you and your money are inseparable. And if you don't understand the political side of this, understand that these politicians are not self-funding their causes. What is happening is they're being told, this is what we believe, and if you agree with what we believe, we'll fund you. So what you see happening right now is being funded. This is nobody's personal desire. What you see happening is not as a result of somebody's character and fundamental beliefs. What you see happening is because somebody is funding what's taking place. We look at, how in the world can this work? Because they're being paid to. How can they say it? Because they're being paid to. That's why. And so until we, church, understand the fundamentals of what money can and does do in this world, we will always be on the outside looking in. Why can't we get our politicians to where they need to be? Because we like to give our $5 offerings. Where the casino will give them $1 million and tell them this is what we believe you should say. The NRA, whether you like guns or not, they're going to fund their politicians. And they're going to tell them, this is what we believe, and this is what you're going to say. And if you say something different, you're not going to get this $1 million check. And the reason that Grace UMC Arlington cannot do what Grace UMC Arlington needs to do is because we've still been putting $5 in the offering. Or some of you haven't been putting anything in the offering. Like our financial chair said, you've been saying you've given online. But it's online. We know it's online too. What I'm saying this morning, church, is that God, come on, music, y'all come on back. I know everybody, Pastor, when you finish this, say amen, get a benediction, do something, get me out of here. Yeah, truth is hard to hear sometimes. But we as a community, we as a group of people, Keisha can tell you this, Anybody that's involved in politics can tell you this. The reason we can't get our issues across is because we don't fund them. The reason the historic black colleges are suffering today is because when folk graduate, they don't look back. Glory to God, Pastor. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Brother, you're going to play something because folk about to run me out of here. Come on, fellas. Oh, you're back. You're back. When I get back, I'm not changing subjects.
Amen.
When I get back, I want to talk about what Scripture says about what we should do with our money. Can I give you the first one before I close? Prioritize your money. When he says bring all the tithe, he didn't say unless you have other obligations. When he says bring the first fruit, he didn't say unless you have other obligations. Church, particularly this church, we must do better. If you're not a tither, this is your day to start. Try God.
Yes.
Trust God.
Yes.
But most importantly, what I'm calling you to do today is surrender. Not just your heart, which is inseparable from your money, but surrender all to God. You're going to see that challenge in the parking lot one day. Unless I change my mind and, like I'm apt to do, and find another car. But right now, I'm still praising God in my ultimate. That's paid off. Because it allows me to do some things that I need to do. Some things that I want to do in this church, in the kingdom of God, that I don't have to worry about. It's clean over there, by the way. It's clean. Just because it's paid off, that don't mean I treat it bad. Amen. But what I'm challenging you to do is allow your money to be an expression of your love to God.
Yes.
Not just your lifted hand, not just your lifted voice, but allow your purse, your pocketbook, your billfold to also express that I'm surrendering all to you. Everything I have and everything I own belongs to you. Did you know that all things come from God?
Yeah.
But it's of God's own. We give back. Can I challenge those of you that are not normal, consistent, regular givers? Promise you, your spiritual life will change when you start investing. All of a sudden, you'll be more concerned about what happens here. Why? Because your treasure is here. You'll start being more concerned about the vision. Why? Because your treasure is here. Your heart becomes more involved in the things that you invest in. Your time, your talent, your money, your emotions. Trust God. Everybody say, trust God.
Trust God.
Trust God. Say it again, trust God.
Trust God.
And surrender all. Lord again, if you are that person, I want to pray with you and pray for you. would love to pray for you if you say, Pastor, I'm ready to rededicate my life to Christ. I'm ready to rededicate my life to the Lord. That is, I'm ready to follow him with my Lord. That's you. I want to pray with you. And then finally, somebody might be saying this morning, Pastor, I want to be a part of this church. I'm not a member here. I don't even have a name on the roll. But I want to be a part of what the heck was happening here, the vision here. I want to know more about this church. You're not going to join today, but you're going to learn a little bit more about what happens here in Grace Church in Arlington. So if that's you, I want to pray with you as well. So first of all, again, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you lift your hand this morning, Pastor? I want to be born again. I want to come into a right relationship with God. Next, Pastor, I want to come back into right relationship with God. That is, I was born again, but I have not walked with God for a while. That's you. I want to pray with you, pray for you. Put your hands so I can know who you are before we pray. And then lastly, Pastor, I want to know more about this church. I want to know more about what happens here, how this church works. I want to join with some intelligent and make an intelligent choice. That's you, Pastor. I want to become a member of this church, but need to know more about it. Would you lift your hands so I can pray with you and for you? Amen. Amen. Yeah, would you come? Stand with us this morning. Jane, come quickly.